listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life here on LA Talk Radio. You know, I really enjoy this format. I've got a lot of interesting guests coming up in the next few weeks. But preparing for those guests, I want to talk about something that's really important. So many people come to me as a coach, and they often, almost always, are coming about business. Not always, but business is high on the list, right? They need to fix their business, grow their business, start a business, make more money, you know, something. And money is always playing such a huge role in it. And there's no question that money is important, but it's not everything. Success is feeling happy. Like when you sit down and think, what do you really want? Well, you want to be happy, right? What would it be worth to you to get up every single day and love your day? Like you wake up a few minutes before the alarm goes off and you like it and you're not frustrated and you don't look at the thing and say, oh, I wish it was still 3 hours ago. You don't do that. You wake up every day loving your life. Not just the days you're going to go play or the days you're going to go to the lake or to the mountain or whatever, but every day. Now, you might think that's crazy or impossible, but it's not. And the whole topic of this show every week is about that ultimate life, having a life you love that's full of relationships, full of love, full of caring, full of joyful experience, full of prosperity, cash, the money you need to enjoy it, full of serving, giving, adding good to the world, whatever language you want to use, your life is full of that. Now, you might think that's impossible, or if it is, it's only for the lucky or the few or only for a little bit of time. And I used to think that, so I think that's a pretty common thought. It's not true. You can have it all the time. And yeah, that means even in the midst of sadness or in the midst of someone getting sick or even in the midst of someone passing away, or in the midst of someone betraying you, or in the midst of a bankruptcy, or in the midst of, you know, other kinds of things you didn't ask for, didn't want, didn't expect. I'm not pretending we're sitting there wishing for disaster. We're not. At least I'm not. And I am assuming with all my heart that you're not wishing for any kind of disaster, right? Of course not. You're wishing for the best, hoping for the best. And if you pray, you pray for the best. Okay? And it doesn't happen. We don't get what we ask for, what we think, even what we planned for and worked for. Perfect example is just a few weeks ago, the NHL finals. Now, I live in Edmonton, Alberta. And for any of you that follow hockey, you know that the Edmonton Oilers were in the final playing against the Florida Panthers. And we lost in seven games. Now, the series was quite dramatic. It went seven games and we lost the first three. So coming back 3-0 almost never happens. Happened back in 1940-something. But then we won the next three. So it went to a very exciting seventh game. And guess what? They prepared, they worked, they played their hearts out, and they lost. Now, some might say that's a failure. They failed. And you know, one of the things that bothers me, I saw in the NBA, who holds the finals same month, June, that the NHL does. And you know what? One of the things they were talking about is different high-profile, high-powered players that had played the most games or the most seasons or something without winning a championship. And they were, oh, you know, must be heartbreaking, must be terrible, going to define, ruin their lives, all these games, all these seasons, all these teams without a championship. You know what? Winning the gold medal, now the Olympics starts here in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I guess. And that's exciting. And it's people that are prepared for the pinnacle of their performance, maybe the first time, maybe the second time, maybe the third time. In fact, I think I saw an article where somebody's going for the fifth time. But anyway, they certainly aren't going to lose. They aren't going just to say, well, I was in the Olympics, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, I don't care. Of course they do. So how do you go from failure to being fully successful? How do you do that? That's what today's about. It's about going from failure, what we call failure, to fully successful. Now, the reason I talked about that NBA, you know, article, I read two or three articles that were just hammering on people that had played all these games and years without winning the, you know, the NBA championship, even though they were on good teams and in the finals and runner ups and everything else. Ooh, they didn't make it to the top. Like that was going to ruin the meaning of their existence is almost how it's presented. Well, that's just nonsense. So that you see, you've got, you know, that ticks a no way box in me. But anyway, I certainly understand failure. I have failed boatloads of times. And by failure, I mean, I went and did something. I thought I was as prepared as I could be. I tried as hard as I could. It didn't go like I wanted. And I felt like a failure. Now, that might be for a day. It might be a week. It might be a year. It might be a relationship you've been in for 10 years or longer. It might be a business you started that went well for 2 or 3 or 5 years or 7. And then COVID happened. And then things didn't, you know, come back the way you wanted, or, you know, the economy shifted or whatever. Now you're out of business, out of work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can think of 1,000 reasons, and I want you to, not because I want to dwell on failure, but because I don't want you to just listen to me tell stories about me, because I'm not that important. The only important person here is you, you, you. Now, I use this background here, and I hope you're watching the video, of this phoenix rising from the ashes. It's a beautiful bird, fire, you know, it's fire and everything else. And it's an AI thing, and I asked for the prompt to give me a phoenix rising from the ashes. And they gave me a bunch of different pictures, which I really like, and I use them a lot. And this is one of them. So a phoenix lives a while and then burns, explodes into flames when it gets old, and then the baby phoenix rises from the ashes. Now, I know conceptually the phoenix is a mythological creature, although it was featured prominently in Harry Potter. Fox, F-A-W-K-E-S, Fox the Phoenix, was powerful and important in certain episodes. But anyway, you and I can be a phoenix. You and I can rise from any ashes, no matter what's happened. That's the whole point of talking about your ultimate life, because creating a life of real purpose, real prosperity and joy, all three of those, is going to have its share of failure, of slaps in the face, of face plants in the ground, literally and figuratively. You're going to have those, and maybe you've already had them in spades. Because I do a podcast and I'm, you know, a broken 900 on our way to 1,000 episodes, I talk to a lot of people who've had struggles and pain and misery and have been resilient and overcome them. Wow. That's the story. We love them. We love them in the movies. We love them in the books. We love them in our friends, and we love them in our own lives. But you know what? Most of the time we keep telling ourselves a story that really can't be us. It can be. So the whole point of today is to figure out how to go from failure to fully successful. That's what we're going to do. So first point is, what is failure? Well, we talked a little bit about it. It is not getting what you wanted or what you thought you were trying, even if you try really hard. So let's talk a little more in detail. Number one, what is your internal experience when you fail? Well, I've told this story before, but I played a piano solo when I was a senior in high school, and it was with the band. So it's really a duet, the band and then the piano solo. And it was Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. And for a high school student, that's quite a difficult piece. And I learned a lot of it really well, but there was one part where I made a number of mistakes and I felt like a failure. And so what was my internal experience? I was embarrassed. I had an upset stomach. I wanted to hide. You know, I desperately wanted somebody to tell me I was okay, and nobody did. You know, my band teacher said, well, it's only high school. And, you know, everybody sort of grimaced a little. And yeah, there were a few people that said it was nice, but nobody that really mattered to me. So my internal experience was, I failed. I sucked. Everybody that I knew and loved told me the same thing, either actually or emotionally. So that was my internal experience. Now, what does that do? Well, that makes you not want to try again. That makes you think, oh, man, I can't do this. Or it could, it didn't me, I didn't do this one, but it could make you say, next time I'm going to practice more, I'm going to bleed until it's perfect. It could do that too. That's resilience. But I didn't have that kind of resilience at the time. The second part of this is, when you have failure, you have that internal experience. And the second thing is sometimes there's external consequences. So I was watching Wimbledon is on right now, and it's in the quarterfinals over the weekend. And I watched one of the quarterfinal matches, and I'm certainly not up to speed on all the greatest tennis players. There have been years where I've known them and years not, and this is a not year. But I watched two players play and heard about the stories of each one as they did. And I watched one of the finishing sets, and one won and one lost. So the external consequence, one person stoically shook the other person's hand and congratulated him and then walked off the court. They were gone. The other person, media and people around them, and yay, and it was just the quarterfinals, you know, but it was the first time they'd ever won that or something like that. So it was very celebrated and very powerful and very uplifting. Sometimes external consequences are financial. You go after a big account at work, a sales account or something like that, and you fail. So you don't get the raise. You don't get the promotion. Maybe you get ripped by your boss. Maybe you lose some money. Maybe you lose some status. So there might be some real live external consequences to failure. The third thing is the emotional toll. Now, the emotional toll is what I started talking about. Failing, not getting what you thought you were going to get, what you prepared for, can take a real heavy emotional toll on you where you think, oh man, I'll never do this again. I can't cut it. If it gets worse, it can be, I'll never try again. It could be, you know, I'm beat down. I've tried too many times. I quit, and we shrivel up. In the worst sense, people literally shrivel up, and sometimes they, you know, consider killing themselves and stuff like that. So the emotional toll can be real. So we now understand and have visited a little bit about failure, and I hope that you've thought of examples in your own life, recent ones, and maybe long ago ones, but recent ones where those feelings have been in you. Because now we're going to move forward. And by the time we get done, we're going to talk about how to get past all that. So where does it come from? Why do we fail? Well, in a competition, someone's just better than we are. The Panthers were better than the Oilers, and they won the game. Sometimes our own failures come from lack of effort. We're afraid of something, so we put it off, and we procrastinate. And then we try to slap something together at the end. Sometimes when we do that, it goes well, and then we say, see, I work well under pressure. And, you know, that kind of nonsense. And I say nonsense, not because you can't work well under pressure, but because it's always better to do it ahead of time in a more relaxed way. And you access more creativity that way. Yes, when there's pressure, you think fast, and I get all that. But my experience over decades has been otherwise. All right. So if we don't put any effort, we create our own failure. Another way we get failure is we put in half-baked effort. And that we usually do because we're afraid we're going to fail. And so we create a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's not fun. One of those kind of things in my own life was there was a project due at school. Okay. And I just didn't work on it. I worked on it half-baked because I was afraid of it and I didn't like it. And it was a lot of work. So it came right to the night before. And I hadn't prepared. And so I set myself up for failure and, you know, got a half-baked effort. And in fact, I got, you know, a phone call to the parents and et cetera, because it was a big project and, you know, a lot of consequences at home and that sort of thing. A third thing that causes failure is we quit early. Like we go at something and it's hard and we don't have some initial success, or feel like we get it or something. And so we sort of give up. It's like, oh, I wasn't meant to do this. This happens a lot in the business that I'm in. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners, people that either have or have wanted to start businesses or have started them and they have large or small. I have one business as a client that's multi-million and another one that's even bigger than that. But I have lots of smaller businesses, folks that are working, you know, to grow or preserve or enhance their businesses. And they're putting in effort. But one of the things that happens is when we don't create success right away, we quit early. We tell stories, especially in the first year or two or three. I'm not cut out for this. That happens a lot when people come to me to get help writing books. Like they've had some powerful life experiences and they know they could be helpful and they feel a yearning to do that. But they start and then it's like, ooh, nobody will read it. Nobody will care. So guess what? They quit. Another place where failure comes from is others' opinions. People tell you, who are you to do that? You can't. Why would you think you are, you know, that kind of conversation is really destructive. And we allow it to control us. Sometimes we allow it and we don't even realize it because it's a habit. All right. So then why do we allow this failure to control us? Well, first of all, we have a habit. We have habits. Some 80-85% of our behavior every day is out of habit. And some things I've read are even more than that, maybe as much as 90. So that means 10 or 15% of the things we do every day, we do them on purpose. We think about them and we do them on purpose, and the rest is habit. Well, we create a habit of conflict avoidance, for example. Anytime anything looks difficult, we run and hide. We really don't want to get into that because somebody might be mad at us or be, you know, it might turn out bad. And guess what? That creates failure. We think, well, that's good for the relationship and, you know, and I don't have to get in trouble or whatever. But the truth is, it doesn't fulfill your life purpose. It doesn't make you feel accomplished. It makes you feel like a doormat because that's how you're behaving. So our habit can be a big contributor to allowing failure or imagined failure to derail us. And a lot of times we do it before anything's even happened. It's imagined. Another thing is uncertainty, and this goes right from the last one. When we think we don't know what's going to happen, we'd rather shy away and run away than risk failure, embarrassment, exposure, you know, that kind of thing. We really don't want that because somehow we believe that public embarrassment or humiliation or failure or something like that is, you know, just intolerable. Now, again, we're coming up to the Olympics, and there's only going to be one gold medalist and three podium occupants in every event. All the rest of them are going to be, quote, failures by some people's measure. I hope not by their own, because the fact that they're even there sets them in a world all their own. But that kind of fear gets in the way. And if those folks allowed fear of failure, knowing that only three are going to be on the podium and one gold medal, if that kind of fear got in their way, the Olympics would be empty. Nobody'd go. But those people, they choose to get over it. Now, that's an important thing. They choose. They choose. They make a conscious choice knowing, because obviously the Olympics isn't the first meet or effort or competition they've been in, dozens, maybe hundreds before that in their chosen areas. So that uncertainty and fear of embarrassment or failure or humiliation or ridicule has long been managed for those that move forward. So we can take an example and some learnings from that. So this, the next point is, okay, now that we understand what it is, where it comes from, and many of the reasons we allow it to control us, now the real important next question is, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about it? All right, well, let's start with the most basic thing. Before you're going to do anything, you have to assess your desire. Like, how bad do you want this thing? I work with people who are trying to change. Like, I am in the change business. I sell change. I sell personal growth. I sell bigger vision. I sell creating new habits as a coach. Those are all my stock in trade. People come and they're in a situation. And the reason they're in the situation is because that's what they've created with their behavior, with their beliefs, with their habits, that kind of thing. And so the most important thing we go to work on isn't formulas and sales letters and that kind of thing. It's, how bad do you want this change? You're out of shape. How bad do you want to get in shape? Yeah, but I failed in diet and exercise 1,000 times. I believe you. That's where you are today. Are you going to choose to stay there forever? Or are you going to decide this time you want it worse than you have before? You want it more, not worse, but you want it more than before. So the first question is, how bad do you want it? Now, here's an interesting thing. I have this when I'm talking to someone new whether they're a client or not, maybe they're not even a prospect yet, but we're just talking about what they want to get done in life and where they are and what they've tried and what's worked and what hasn't and all that sort of stuff. I ask a question. I say, well, how bad do you want it? And often I'll hear, oh, I want it really, really bad. And I say, well, what are you willing to do? Oh, I'll do anything. And that sort of word, those kind of words just flow out of their mouth like water. I'll do anything. Okay, good. Well, and then we start exploring relevant things that need to change. Because remember, I'm in the situation I'm in today because I created it. So are you. You and I, we created our life situation. Now, every time I say that, I always hear this little voice in the back of my head saying, now there's going to be a bunch of people that say, yeah, but I didn't ask for fill in the blank. I didn't ask for someone to beat me. I didn't ask for someone to abuse me. I didn't ask for someone to betray me or to rip me off. No, you didn't. And those things are unjust and unfair. And I'm not pretending them away. However, the first choice we can and should make is to get some help. That was a huge failing for me. I stayed stuck in the idea that I wasn't good enough and lived with depression and self-sabotage for decades. I created success and then destroyed it. Success, failure, success, failure. I had a story I wasn't worthy, and I didn't get any help. Too embarrassed to go get help and say, my life's not working. I need some help. I didn't do that till much, much later in life. I was in my 50s, and you've heard the stories before, so I'm not going to tell them now. But the question is, how bad do you want it? And then this follow-up question is, how can you tell? How can you tell that you want it really bad? So when someone says to me, I'll do anything, I want it really, really bad, and that we talk about, well, how can you tell? What's different? What are you willing to change to get out of the situation you're in or move toward and or move toward a new one to create success instead of failure, whether it's financial success, relationship success, health and fitness success, spiritual success, any kind of success requires that we change. Now, the third question about that is, how bad do you want it? How can you tell? And the third one is, your desire constant or fluctuating? And what I mean by that is, you know, eating is a good example. And I use that one because it was a time in my life where I was quite a bit overweight in my late 30s, about 30 years ago, because I'm 68 now. So about 38. And I was quite heavy, and I would say to myself often, oh, I got to do something about this. But the desire fluctuated. I want to eat this way, and we're going to go out, and we're going to eat all this stuff, whatever. And so the desire was all over the place, and nothing changes until you go for it, until you slam your fist down and you say, I'm going to do it. Not next week, not next month. And that moves to the point number five. So number four was, what can I do about this? And looking at our desire. And then the next part of that is planning for change. If you're going to make a big change, you need to start now. Now is the best time. Now is the only time. Now is the proper time. Now is the wonderful time. Now is the only moment available to you. Because if you say you'll start next week, you won't. Because next week never comes. It becomes now, and then you have to decide if you're going to start now. So now is the only time to start with whatever change you want. Now may not be possible to start every piece of it, but you can start with a commitment. You can start by telling someone. You can start by making a few little changes in whatever it is that's in your life that has kept you stuck where you're at. Whatever the situation is, kept you in that failure mode of I can't, I won't, I try, and it never, you know the language. So your change is multiphasic, lots of phases, lots of parts. First of all, there's the immediate change. So I'm going to go back to my weight loss journey when I was in my late 30s. I went at it. Finally, I said, I'm starting right now. And I made some immediate changes. The immediate changes was I got rid of certain foods in the house. Just not going to eat them. The second thing is I enrolled someone to go with me in our exercise journey. It was another person who wanted to lose some weight. So I got some support. Another thing I did a few days later was enroll in a martial arts program that wasn't very far from the house. And the convenience of that was really important. If it was a long ways away, you know, you make excuses and don't go. This one was literally 3 minutes driving, 10 minutes walking. So I could get there quickly and easily with no excuses. Then I made some longer term changes. I cut out, you know, certain amount of going out and certain things, certain habits. I made some changes in there. And then I gathered some resources. I got some help, right? I made some commitments public and I told other people what was going on and I engaged them a little in getting excited and, you know, encouraging me. And I asked them to go ahead and ask. I gave them permission to help me along the way a bit. And then I enrolled, like I said, in the martial arts thing and I went on diligently. Now, even if you do that, you got to get in the game for the long haul. And I've talked about the NBA, I've talked about the Olympics, I've talked about hockey. And the funny thing is I'm not a huge sports fan. I only follow when it gets close to the end of the season. And I know that the Copa Cup, the North and South America is going on right now, and the Euro Cup. And I know those things because my wife, Joy, she's really a fan of soccer. So lots of those sporting folks. And in every one of those venues, a game, you know, hockey game is three periods, right? And the fortunes and favor and energy can go all over the place. A football game is four quarters. A baseball game is, I think, nine innings, right? And a soccer match is two halves plus some extra time. In every game, it always goes up and down. So if you're going to move from failure to fully successful, after you've made the commitment, after you've made the plan for change, you got to know things are going to go up and down. So I got business clients. And they'll come sometimes and tell me this fabulous thing happened. And then, you know, next week or 2 weeks later, or a month later, a quarter later, things are way down. What do? Well, we don't sit around and cry. We just go after it and say, what has changed? And often what has changed is when we create initial success, we don't sustain our effort. We don't stay in the game. Now, I don't know if you watch any sports at all, but if you do, whatever your sport is, you know, if one inning a team is doing really good and focused and energetic, and the next inning they slack off, or if one period in the hockey game they're all over the puck and another one they're just half step behind, you can sense the energy change. They haven't stayed in the game. So if you want to move from failure to full success, you have to stay in the game. And that's easy to say, but you have to create the methods and get the support to stay in the game. It always goes up and down. Now, I have a funny that I want to tell you about. There was one hockey game in the, this was in the Oilers. Yeah, in the Oilers championship, we had lost three games. That was it. And we were flying, Joy and I were flying back to Edmonton from somewhere. And there was someone on the plane with us and they were leaving. So we weren't flying to Edmonton. I guess we were flying away. Anyway, they had been to game number three where the Oilers lost, and they had planned to stay up for game four because games three and four were in Edmonton. And he said, well, if they'd won the game, I'd have stayed, but, you know, they lost, so I'm just going home. He was assuming failure, right? Turned out in game four, Edmonton blew out the Panthers 8-1 and revived the series and revitalized hope and won two more games, and eventually they lost. But what do you think about fans that leave early, right? They get discouraged and they say, it's hopeless, and they want to get out of the traffic or something, so they give up and leave. That always bugs me a little. I don't know why. I'm not judging anyone, but it always bugs me. If you're a fan, stay and cheer, right, till the end. And I want you to do that for you. You're a champion. You're a winner. You're capable. And these tools about checking your desire and making plans for change and getting in the game and staying in for all four quarters. Like, what if the team left? Oh, yeah, we, you know, we're behind, so let's just leave. Well, I suppose you could and forfeit the game, but why would you do that? That's a huge failure, right? Failure to finish. So you don't want to do that. So here's the steps. Here are the actual steps to make this transition. Remember, you start now. Start right now with whatever steps you can take. If it's an outline of progress, if it's a little change in eating habits, if it's throwing away food, if it's not even finishing the dessert you're on because you finally decided it's time, if it's making one more phone call if you're prospecting, if it's making the apology you know you need to repair a relationship, like there is an activity you can take right now to start with moving from failure to fully successful. You really can. You can let fear get in your way, or you can take that step. So start now. Here's a couple of questions to help you start now. Why would you suffer more? Like, there's something not happy about the situation you're in, your money situation. You're spending too much, or you're not earning enough. And undoubtedly, you've complained, oh, life's not fair, and this isn't, and they shouldn't have happened, and all that kind of noise. That's the suffering. Because we dwell in the failure, right? We dwell in it and live in it and commiserate and moan and groan. And we suffer longer and longer. Why suffer one more minute? Why not change your direction and take a step in the positive direction? Now, I want you to think right now of whatever failure has come to mind in this whole conversation. And remember, failure is just not getting what you want. I'm not putting a stigma on failure. I have a book that I'm writing. It won't be till next year, 2025. But the name of the book is Failure, The Art and Science of Challenging Boundaries. So I don't even think failure is bad. I think I love it. I lean into it. I've learned, remember, before it destroyed me, but I've learned to lean into it and love it. Lean into it and love it because it just teaches me what to do. So even if I fail, I win. Think about that. When I fail, I win. How does that happen? Well, I get learnings. If I win, I win. And if I fail, I win. I didn't get the money or the game or the promotion I wanted, but I did learn something. If I'm willing to learn, if I'm going to get mad and blame whoever or whatever, then of course, there's not much winning going on there. So don't prolong your suffering. Remember, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Now, that's a saying that is a paraphrase of a Buddhist saying, but what it means is bad things are going to happen to you, to me, to all of us. We don't control the earth, earthquakes, the weather, other people's opinions, betrayals, or anything else. So that stuff's going to happen. Suffering is optional, meaning continue to be miserable. Just ask yourself the simple question, what can I do now? And don't try to do the whole world right now. You've all seen the I've been doing this. When I first started my internet work in 12, 13, 14 years ago, I said, well, I'm going to go create a list. And if you do internet marketing, you know what creating a list is. I'm going to create a list of 5,000 in the next 3 months. And the coach I had at the time laughed at me. Because I had set a large goal. And when I failed, I'm not saying it was impossible. I didn't know how to do that. When I failed, it was a big blow. And so I stayed suffering and I shied away from setting those kind of goals for a long time. And I let it beat me down. And so I suffered for a long time from that before I was able to change that attitude and reach those milestones and move past it. So pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Suffering is in your head. It is continuing to suffer from pain that has ended. Embarrassment, anger, revenge, negativity, all those will keep you in failure. Now, we said start immediately. Start small. What is the smallest step you can take right now, moving in the direction of your success? If your success is money, I need to create more sales. Okay, and maybe you're an affiliate marketer. What do you need to do to change even a little how you're marketing? What split tests can you run to check a new headline or new ad copy? What new approach? Who can you talk to in your organization that can give you some tips on improving your sales talk or your closing strategies? Like, there's always help available. It's just that we usually don't take the courage or the effort to go get it. And often the help is free, especially if you're in an organization of some kind. There are mentors, people that have been there longer than you, that are often just able to help with advice and encouragement. You may need to hire a coach. I certainly did that a lot. I hired lots of coaching, went to lots of events, and did lots of those things to learn much of what I've learned now. But what made it valuable wasn't just attending and learning. It was choosing to take the action to stay in the game and keep trying to implement those things in my life. So let's say someone does the high jump. You know, they do that Fosbury flop where they run up and then jump over backwards. If someone was doing the Western roll first and not getting as high as they knew they could, and then they went and watched the video of somebody doing Fosbury and then thought, okay, I'll just do that next meet. And they went and tried it the next meet. How successful would they be? Well, that's laughable. They've got to go try it. They've got to get a coach, someone that can watch them from the outside, watch some game film, see exactly where to plant their feet, try it over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they're trying a new thing. So whether you want to improve your relationship and move from failure to wildly successful, if you want to improve your intimacy with your partner, if you want to increase the cash in your bank account, if you want to increase the confidence in your sales conversations, if you want to increase your ability to speak from stage, if you want to increase your ability to write programs and products, if you want to increase your success getting a promotion at work, it takes commitment and practice and getting the help you need. Somebody has already done this before you. And that help is available, sometimes free, sometimes for a price, but it doesn't matter. Investing in yourself is the most effective and most important investment to make. And here's why. Because when you do that, you change. You become more skilled, more confident, and more capable, and that stays with you. So that investment pays dividends forever. Imagine that. Dividends forever. Ever. You can't beat that. Okay. Start small, get help. And then the last little piece of that one is keep going. Just keep going. Stay on the path. Keep moving. Okay. You're going to fail. Learn to look forward to it. Fail forward, fail fast. There's all kinds of sayings about that. Use them. Treat failure as a learning experience. I call them IDPs, interesting data points. And they're not an indictment of your worthiness. They're not an indictment of how good you are or how valuable you are. A failure is just that. What I did didn't work. So instead of failure meaning good or bad, why don't you change the definition? Change it to it worked or it didn't work. When I did that, it didn't work. When I do this, it works. And if you're struggling about what the do this is that works, that's where you get help. I can't tell you how valuable the coaching, mentoring, and other forms of help that I've gotten. I have spent a lot of time and effort and money reading, attending, getting coached and doing that. Why? Because I want to get good. One of the things I'm doing right now that you'll be seeing more and more of is singing. I've sung all my life and been in a group that performed well and charted on Billboard, but not as a soloist. So I'm going to do solo work now. I am doing solo work. And I have a coach, and I've had a coach now for years. I think 7 years. Why? Because I want to get really good at this so that the messages I have in the songs are the focus and not my performance. You know, my getting good is to reach 250 million people. I've tried all kinds of different ways to reach people, places to speak and shows to be on and guests to be on my shows and stuff. Some of them have worked and some of them have not worked. And so if I was thinking in old language, it would be, oh, that failed. That failed. Oh, it fails. I'm never going to get to last year 50 million, this year 250. Well, you know what? That kind of attitude would guarantee that I would fail. Or that I wouldn't reach my goal. So don't do that. That's sort of our default mechanism. We assign failure and connect it to our personal worth and personal worthiness. That's not true. You're a divine being. Your worthiness and worth is infinite. What you learn to do is what you learn to do. Falling down when you learn to walk is normal. Screwing up when you first start selling things is normal. Completely botching it when you get up to speak to start with is normal. Freezing and forgetting your lines is normal. All those things are just interesting data points. So later is too late. Start now. Don't suffer anymore. Start small. Get the help you need and keep going. Now, I have discovered some tools that will help with this, and that is to write goals down. It's to break them in littler steps. It's to make them small enough so I have a hope of achieving them every day, a little one, this one today and that one tomorrow. When I deal only with big statements and big goals, it's really hard to stay focused for me. I wrote a book about that. It's called The Results Equation. If you need help with that kind of thing, get The Results Equation. It's the best book I've ever seen. That's why I wrote it. I couldn't find one that gave me the exact formula for creating success for any goal. And so I wrote that book. Now, as a final section I want to talk about, it's what are the rewards? So we've talked about where failure comes from, why we get it, how to overcome it, what steps to take, getting the help you need, creating new habits. Now, what are the rewards? Well, I'm going to speak to my own changes. I used to fail a lot. I used to hide a lot. I was miserable a lot. I self-sabotaged a lot. That was the regular song of my life. Consequently, I was miserable. I didn't like myself much, but you could say I hated myself and I acted like it. Since choosing to do and executing the things that I've told you today, I have what I call fierce ownership of my life. My life is mine. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second, even these moments that I share with you and love you, love sharing with you. I own all these and I do exactly what I want and I feel good about it. I have that ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Why? Because I've done the things that we talked about today. So I have fierce ownership of my life. No one takes it. No one controls it but me. And no one controls your life but you. And it was so with me before, but I didn't know it. I allowed everybody else to control my life, my attitudes, my opinions, my feelings. And now I've taken fierce ownership. Another reward is that you get a lot of personal development. I joke with clients often when I have them do exercises, not jumping jacks, you know, notice this, do this in this week in between calls. I want you to work on this. You know, I call those PD pushups, personal development pushups. And I had a client a few weeks ago, right after our call, one day afterwards, I gave him a pretty challenging assignment to do a certain thing. And the next day I got a text that said, wow, this week is gonna be hard. And he was just noting about the difficulty of staying focused and doing the thing that he had agreed to do for his own development. So you will develop. You'll be more calm, more capable. You'll learn to speak better. You'll take control of your life. You'll have the ability to create success that you today don't believe. Those are the rewards of this personal development. Another thing that will happen is your talents will grow. You have gifts and talents. You know that. They will grow. You'll develop them more, and consequently, they'll become more valuable. Now, if a talent you have or a skill you have becomes more valuable, what happens? Well, you make more money. Okay? The development, every one of these development steps that we've talked about will give you more cash. If you improve your relationships, you'll be more confident and calmer, more cash. If you develop your body and get to the right health and fitness that you determine for yourself, you'll feel better, you'll look better, you'll be more confident, and more cash. If you develop your mindset, you'll show up better and more confidently, more cash. If you develop your skill at whatever it is you do for work more effectively, more cash. So every one of these affects how we show up, how we treat ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, and consequently, it affects how other people treat us. And so if you want to go from failure to fabulous success, get on the track to this development. Go back and listen again and make a list of the things to do. Another real huge benefit is there is a fantastic personal satisfaction. Today, as I live that life I describe, where I love getting up every day, and I always wake up before my alarm, always, maybe once in a while, in a month, I don't. But I always wake up 2 or 3 minutes early, and I don't try to go back to sleep. I get up. I mean, I get up because I'm excited. Because why? Because of what I have to do today. The day is joyful and pleasant. I get to love you. I get to make podcasts. I get to coach people. I get to write more in one of my books. I get to do a lot of stuff, and I love all of it. You can have that where you live every day in the life that you absolutely love. The last benefit that you really get, and it's not the last one, but it's the last one I'm going to list today, and I call that adding good to the world. You know what happens when you feel good about yourself, when you feel good about your work, when you feel good about who you're being, when you know that you know how to take failure and move it to success, when failure doesn't destroy your heart or your self-esteem or your worth anymore, when it doesn't make you cringe or shrink, when that never happens, your heart is open. When your heart is open, we are all naturally drawn to add good to the world. What does that mean? To be of service, to help, to love, to lift, to bless. We're built that way, to love and serve each other. So in conclusion, I want to tie this to getting to your ultimate life. Getting to your ultimate life. Now, I hope you have by now a set of words that are your power words. My words are a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. If you define the ultimate life for you, what is it? If you're living that life right now, I salute you and I'm grateful. And I invite you to connect because I'd love to talk with you. I love featuring as guests people who are living the life they designed and built so that you can share your message, your success, your growth with others. Because I find inevitably those that build this kind of life are in it to serve. They love helping and serving others. And this is a way they get to do it. You get to do it by being a guest here on the show. So I'd love to talk with you with that. That's an invitation for you to tell your story of growth and how things have changed for you. Getting to your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, and again, substitute your words, it allowed me to declare my purpose. That's where $250 million came from. Creating a life that I love, a life of service, of helping others, of helping them forgive themselves, of cleaning up mistakes, getting rid of old mindsets and baggage and all that stuff that we all carry around until we stop. That is my purpose, to help you do the things you don't believe you can do with tools that you don't even know you have and power you don't know you control. And I'm going to reach $250 million this year. Out of love and desire, I invite you to share your story. I invite you to get a hold of me, even if you don't want to share your story. So the first invitation is if you have something to share. The second invitation is if you have a need or a desire for help. I talked all the way through the show that it was essential for me to get the right help I needed. I didn't for many years, decades. And so I floundered. As soon as I made a determination to get focused and get moving, get help, and coaches and counselors and different people, comes in different forms, but getting the right help made all the difference for me, all the difference. It changed my money. It changed my self-esteem. It changed my joy. It helped me find, declare, and live into my purpose, everything that I want. At the last, I want to assure you 100%. Of your own capability. Sometimes people will hear me talk about this sort of stuff and then they'll say, yeah, that's good for you, but I can't really do that. I'm just not able to do that. I can't. I completely believe that you believe that. I believe that because I used to feel that way. I used to say to myself, somebody somewhere can do stuff, but I can't. I'm broken beyond repair. I don't have the courage, the wherewithal, the strength, the determination. I don't have any of that crap. I can't do it. So I'll just be broken and do the best I can and limp along. That was my song for years. I want to assure you, no matter where you are, no matter what's happened before, you have the opportunity to move forward. Maybe it's a little, maybe it's a tiny amount. You don't need to stay where you are unless you want to. So no matter where you've been, no matter what's happened to you, it's never too late, it's never too hard, and it's never impossible. If you make your own declaration, if you learn to love yourself even more, if you get the help you want, that was a big one for me. I absolutely know if you do those things, especially the loving yourself part, there's nothing that can keep you from creating a life you love every day, every minute. And you too will.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.